Hi, and welcome to the Popcorn Junkies. We are reviewing a film called Reality, starring Sydney Sweeney. And you won't know the names of the other two main actors in it, but they need naming because they're so good. It also stars Marshawn Davis and Josh Hamilton. Sydney Sweeney, obviously, from Euphoria. She's soon to be seen, or will be seen in the ensuing years, as Spider-Gwen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I've always thought, we always kind of were quite enamoured with her performance in Euphoria. She was the sort of neurotic, often chaotic, taken advantage of young girl who just kept losing her shit and kind of was dismissed and sort of ostracised by the group for being too hysterical. I always thought there was something really substantive about her acting and her performance. Now, this film sits in a curious sort of genre hybridization sort of area. It's nibbling at the edges of documentary. Well, it's more than nibbling at the edges of documentary. It's not scripted. It's lifted from the transcripts, directly from the transcripts of an FBI interrogation of an intelligence or an alleged intelligence leaker called Reality Winner, which, what a remarkable name, a Reality Winner. When you think about what the nature of this story is, when you get to the end of what actually happens in her life, obviously it's all in the public realm, so I can't really do any spoilers, but I went into this film not knowing the story at all, and I would suggest that if you don't know the story and you want to see the film, try and be totally oblivious and ignorant as to the nature of the story. So I thought it's called Reality. It's going to be about reality, the real world, reality TV, reality, what is real, what isn't real. It's a documentary, isn't it? A documentary is based on transcripts, the performances, the script. But no, Reality is the name of Sydney Sweeney's character, Reality Winner. She works in an American intelligence department, comms department. The film is clearly set at the within the sort of Trump administration, very much at the point where Trump had the, I don't know if you remember, the head of the FBI who he seemed to be kind of mates with and then wasn't mates with and then kind of got rid of, you know, firing the FBI, head of the FBI, all the threats and counter threats about elections and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's parked very firmly within Trumpian America. Now, this film quite quickly, right at the beginning, uses the device of sort of, you know, audio kind of waves, sound waves kind of flickering up and down, like you often see on Instagram posts when people are posting about podcasts. This is to indicate this is audio, and it starts with real audio. It starts with, I assume it starts with the real voices of the real people, real FBI investigators, as they pull, well, they don't pull her up, they pull Reality, they knock on Reality's window, she pulls up at her apartment, her home, her condominium, and they essentially start the process of slowly revealing to her that she's under, or something is under investigation within her property, within her house, and around and surrounding her. What makes this film really efficient and clever, and again, this is really helped by the fact that I didn't know what I was walking into, is that you're parked in the position, if you don't know the story, of Sydney Sweeney's character, Reality. So you pull up, there's a knock on the window, and you've got these authority figures kind of talking to you, at you, and around you in this formal fashion. It slips from the actual audio recordings into the dialogue of the actors, because at first I thought, oh no, they're going to mime this. So no, they didn't do this. They jettisoned the original recordings, and then we were in the voices and performances of the actual actors, which was good, because I think it was all much stronger for that. But what was in the script, and I think this is what's very clever about it, there was that sort of lack of floral detail to the language, to the questions. There was an ordinariness to the ways in which these FBI officers were asking her not to do this or to get out of the car, or is this your home, or do you have any possible reason to think that you might know what we need to be talking about? Is there anything you want to tell us? Is there anyone in the house? It reminded you of how when authority, or when the authorities of any form, ask questions, there's a sort of Kafka-esque, Franz Kafka, that wonderful sort of almost, not surrealist, but expressionist kind of writer who wrote Metamorphosis and The Trial. You know, this idea of a sort of, you know, a dark, Big Brother-esque, malevolent sort of administration that's just full of bureaucracy and doesn't recognise the individual. There was a lack of humanity in this correspondence. It was automaton-like, but this was authority. And so you watch, I mean, a lot of this film is of Sydney Sweeney's face in extraordinary close-up, as the pennies begin to drop or don't drop, as the FBI questions and the process and the story sort of spirals around what she knows, what she's done, what she's possibly done, where she works, has she got anything she wants to share? She's sort of like, you know, in at the deep end. And what's clever is, as the viewer, you are pivoting, or I was pivoting anyway, between thinking, oh my God, this poor innocent girl, it's the state, this is some kind of, you know, awful kind of setup, or she's been framed or something like that, to then I started to pivot around towards, oh, hang on a minute, they're talking about intelligence, they're talking about intelligence gathering. And there were a couple of moments in the film, some very well-timed images of the actual person that this is based on, Reality Winner. Her Instagram, her with a gun, her dropped in. We're told that she was part of the Air Force. She was, you know, in the America's Afghanistan missions, former. And then, so you start to think, oh, hang on a minute. Could she have been radicalized? Is there some kind of terrorist thing there? So I kept dovetailing between a sort of natural kind of antipathy towards the authority of the FBI, towards them thinking, well, hang on a minute, is she a potential threat to American intelligence and the nation? You know, she's small, she's tiny. You have these guys in generic sort of jackets and suits and ties and what have you. The film did a really good job of really foregrounding the ordinary conversations about, what is that your dog? What kind of dog is it? Do you like that dog? Or there was another really interesting conversation between her and two of the guys about lifting weights and weightlifting. Those kind of polite intersections in conversation, which were given a sort of administrative, bureaucratically sinister feel. You're thinking, hang on a minute, you know, this girl's clearly small, innocent, ineffective, a small cog in something, humble, doesn't have much, there isn't much evidence of anything. Yes, she talks about having guns. Yes, they're interested in that, but then a lot of Americans do have guns. So that wasn't particularly surprising. She's kind of not cocky or confident. She doesn't look suspicious. So you are pivoting. It's a very clever film making you go from the FBI's perspective on her. What on earth has this girl done? To her perspective, where you're like, what the hell's going on? I'm tiny, I'm small. All these men in her kitchen, a brilliant scene where they're all in the kitchen, she's trying to get to a fridge and they're walking around. All of the supporting cast, you've got these two main officers played, as I say, by Marshawn Davis and Josh Hamilton, who was also the dad in Eighth Grade, brilliant actor. They're incredibly good. The looks they give each other, the looks that they have a knowledge of something beyond what's being talked about, the ways in which they didn't want to jump ahead or run ahead. It was a real kind of eye-opener on how the FBI will operate in terms of needing to get you to kind of tell the information they think you know. And so gradually, over a period of time, there's this disorientating sense of authority. There's a sense of increasing persecution. Although the FBI are talking, there's a sort of wall of silence and an air of silence. There's a sort of emptiness to the air, which I thought was incredibly expert. And then this device creeps in a little bit later, where we start to establish that perhaps she has gone online. Has she printed something? Has she done something administrative that, you know, has broken a rule, but isn't necessarily, you know, she's not a spy. She's not someone doing something awful. She's just a lapse of judgment, or she wasn't attending to things in the way that she should have been. And I thought this was where the parent in me started to really creep in. And I was thinking, hang on a minute, guys, just leave her alone. Is this girl going to somehow be responsible for something so seismic, but all she's done is turn the photocopier on by accident, or left a printed article somewhere or something like that? And then it does this great thing. You know how in documents you get redacted comments, you know, which are blacked out with sort of, you know, bold black rectangles. When they mention something that needed to be redacted, or was redacted, I guess, in the original transcripts that this is based on, she would disappear and then come back. And when they'd say whatever the redacted thing was, they'd disappear and come back. And I thought it was a really ingenious and stylistic device that really made you jump out of your skin, and kind of like an electric shock made you realize, hang on a minute, we're dealing with something deeply sensitive here. We're dealing with something really potentially quite dangerous. And so I can't stress enough how the generic aspect of the FBI officers, the benign ordinariness, the niceties, the small talk niceties that we all engage in. I think the most chilling aspect of this was the way in which those small talk normal bits, which suggest a normal kind of interaction and relationship with someone, were just the kind of bits around the fact that actually they know they're going to hit you hard with something massive. And I found that really sinister. So for me, this was like a horror film. It was like a slowly evolving and slowly unwinding horror film, as you began to realize that this girl was in way too deep. You begin to realize that what she's actually done, and this is a spoiler review, so at this point, if you don't know, if you're kind of intrigued, you think, oh, I want to go and see this, stop now, go and see it and then come back. What is revealed to have happened is that she's released material footage, not footage, material content, files, script, articles that prove or suggest without doubt that the Russians had essentially meddled in the American elections with Trump getting in. And so so she finds this material and she leaks this material out. She's frustrated, she's angry, she doesn't understand, you know, how there can be such injustice in the world and all this kind of stuff. And there's this wonderful moment where she begins to realize that they know that she's done this thing, or she's kind of beginning to realize the scale of what it is she's done relative to who she is, just ordinary young girl in a shitty little apartment, you know, but this is way bigger than her. This film is a slow unraveling of the truth that the FBI know, and they keep leading her there and leading her there and leading her there. Now, what makes this all incredibly effective and not just a retelling is Sydney Sweeney's performance and the two FBI officers. She is an extreme close-up. She's fidgety. She's itchy. She's ticky. She's innocent. She's naive. She's also, you see that within her, there's a deep understanding that she did want to do something and say something because she felt that she knew something that was wrong. She felt that she was whistleblowing in some way that was necessary. And given that she was actually whistleblowing about something that actually happened, which, let's think about this. This is the bit of it all that makes her name seem even more sort of serendipitous, or what a curious reality winner. The reality she finds out or found out won because she discovers, she has proof, she has leaked material that says that the Russians interfered with the American electoral democratic process. And yet, this is a film about the ways in which she's kind of honey-trapped or into revealing that in revealing a gross miscarriage of justice against American democracy, the American intelligence services need to punish her for sort of essentially espionage-like offences. And she eventually, you know, by the end of the film, you discover that she in real life was awarded, I think, a 5-year sentence and served 4 years. And what was her crime? Her crime was to tell the truth about a fixed election campaign in America. And so you have this curious montage towards the end of all the news stations and online people and everything all sort of gibbering and jabbering about the outrageousness of this woman was a traitor. Is she like Snowden? She's released, you know, secrets, state secrets. And then a sort of irony creeps in where you think, but actually, has she not been more of an American citizen and done the honorable thing more than most of the people in government who had got into government and had won the election courtesy of the rigging that she had found proof of? And so by the end of the film, we've moved into this curious scenario, or this story just generally moves into this curious scenario where the most patriotic of people here is reality, played by Sydney Sweeney. And yet we have what's considered a sort of incredibly patriotic organization, the FBI, obviously over the years and still to this day will be corrupt in many different ways. The FBI, a beacon of American sort of justice, if you like, steering someone who had acted patriotically and honorably in many regards, steering them towards a sentence. And so you're left within this kind of curious sort of moral, political sort of quandary, thinking, but she's a hero, and yet she's been punished by a country that champions freedoms and democracy and all this kind of stuff. And so you're confused. It kind of frazzles the wiring around right and wrong and all this kind of stuff. But this film's major achievement is in the execution. It does something incredibly unusual. It's incredibly cold. It's incredibly impassive. It has that feeling of a sort of Guantanamo Bay interrogatory type setup. It's really helped if you don't know the intricacies or ins and outs of the story and what it is she's done and what the payoff is and how this is actually going to evolve and develop. Watching the FBI agents work their way around sort of her and work their way around what they both know, their side looks, their glances at each other, the ways in which they nod and know, the ways in which they can, in a sense, there's that wonderful moment where as a viewer, you're rooting for Sydney Sweeney. And at the same time, you're thinking, oh, please, guys, be more parental. She asks at one point, am I going to, she breaks towards the end, am I going to go to prison for a while? And he goes, you know, because it's transcripts. He just goes, you know, we can't go there as yet. It's too early to say that. It's too early. But there are moments like they really home in on those incidental moments, which are turned into chilling, bureaucratic, Kafka-esque moments where he's talking about, do you want a bottle of water? Do you want to stand or do you want to sit? We can stand or we can sit. And I thought what was really clever about that was that within that, you know, how ordinary language and ordinary exchanges and everyday dialogue is still the stuff of incredible stories like this, you know. So as they're trying to essentially confirm that they have got the right person, that she's done something that she's going to be, you know, essentially sent to prison for, that we can partake in all these polite, you know, niceties and polite chit-chat and small talk, it makes small talk feel sinister. It makes incidental chit-chat about what type of dog you've got and whether it bites feel suddenly loaded with a sort of empty intent. And I think that's what's really clever about this. It's a really interesting film about the facelessness of these organizations, the coldness of these organizations, the way in which they partake in normal human relationships in order to kind of, you know, find and charge their quarry, if you like. And Sydney Sweeney is just sensational. Vulnerability, disorientation, a sort of innocence, but also you felt just that little kind of breathless feeling of injustice, and actually where she was coming from was a right place. I was coming from a right place. This, you know, how can this be? I don't understand. And then a fear and a worry that she knows she's obviously stepped or dipped her toe into something that she's really only just dipped her toe into, and for which she was going to be made a national example of. Clearly, this is about, it's more important to ignore the truth and protect America, even if you're admitting that the way in which America has been run, the election, the government that's been elected, the president that's in office, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, essentially, what this is saying. If that's all been rigged by Russia, a major state enemy, we still have to show that you can't release any kind of sensitive material. And I just think, fascinating, excellent, an excellent film. Very short, excellent film, brilliantly performed, brilliantly acted. And I just could not have imagined how they would have brought such range, depth, and sort of texture to what essentially were pre-recorded transcripts. Fully recommend it. Please check it out.